Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and on this week's show, we are doing something a little bit different. So over the past few weeks, we have had interviews with elite swimmers. We have reviewed and previewed the British Trials. And obviously, this week is currently European Championships out in Budapest. But we are also very aware that swimmers are currently getting back in the swimming pool. They are back swimming with their clubs now, especially the over 18s who are fully involved in clubs once again. So for this week's show, we thought that we would give a roundup or a summary of when you should join swimming. You may be inspired by the performances that you've seen on television from the British swimmers or even our build up to Tokyo. Or you might just realise that clubs and lessons are opening back up again and you want to know how you can get involved or how your child can get involved. We thought that we would give you an overview of when you should start swimming. So that encompasses what sort of age you should start swimming and also sort of general development through swimming, from your learning to swim to swim training, or even if you're an adult starting to look at swimming lessons because you're not confident yourself, we're also going to cover that.
Yeah, well, basically what we want to do is that we want to teach everyone that you can learn to swim at any stage in life. And we're going to try and briefly go through from swimming as a baby, actually, all the way through to an adult and where the steps you can take to be able to learn to do it.
What you will realise throughout this podcast is that it is a very varied journey through swimming. No, there is no dot-by-dot plan.
No, there's no concrete way of doing it.
Yeah,
no.
So me and Dan are going to talk through our experiences through swimming. And you'll notice straight away that they'll be very different. I joined a swimming club a hell of a lot later than Dan did. And that was just because I progressed through swimming lessons a lot slower.
Everyone learns at different rates. And it's not just swimming, it's in other sports and of course the academic side as well. So everyone develops and progresses at different rates.
You're still going with the academic slide.
Still going, of course.
Yeah. Struggling to get those words out.
You can still do courses at any age, the same thing.
I best not laugh too hard. I am still studying.
Yes, exactly. You're not even qualified yet. Oh, right. You're qualified. You are qualified, aren't you?
I'm half qualified.
Yeah, half qualified.
I could design you a house, but I can't use the title architect. Basically. So where to start off, Dan? So what sort of options are there as a new parent looking to get involved in swimming with their child?
So, of course, once a baby's born, they've got to have their jabs to be able to go in swimming pools because of the whole chlorine and everything else.
Is a minimum age that a child can start swimming.
I believe the minimum age is 3 months that they can get in the water once they've had all their jabs, basically.
Okay.
I don't know exactly when the jabs happen. I've heard that you can start like the adult and baby lessons
Dan aren't at this stage in our lives just yet.
No, so our knowledge is a little bit... It's varied, so yes, yeah. But you can do adult and baby lessons from the age of 3 months to 18 months.
And when you're talking about lessons, it's not teaching the three-month-old baby how to do front crawl.
No, it's all about water confidence, basically, and the sense of feeling secure and safe in the water. That sort of stuff, and then maybe learning the basic skills of floating and then like paddling.
They can't talk.
No, but you can sort of just sort of get used to the water. That's basically what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the adult and baby.
It's also bonding time for parent and child. It's a good connection, isn't it?
And of course, when you're that age, or any child really, they're all soaking up all this information all the time. And so if they can get used to the feeling of the water straight away, it's only going to help them later on in life, you know?
Yeah, and so it's not just babies that can get in the water with parents, is it? There's organised lessons for toddlers as well.
Yes, that would be the next stage. So if your baby's then over 18 months, it would then go into the adult and toddler sessions, which then go from 18 months to 3 years.
Right, okay.
So they're still in, they could potentially be starting nursery at that sort of time, so they are learning some social skills, but they're still, in terms of swimming, they're still learning the importance of safety in the water, secure, safe.
So it's not quite like organized, structured lessons. As
not
such.
Really.
It's still that stage of confidence.
Yes, I mean, especially for the nursery age sort of lot, you'd be then doing a lot of nursery rhymes. Anything to get them moving and splashing around in the water, basically.
Okay, I've got you.
That's the best way to engage them, really.
Right, okay.
But
do you do many of those lessons yourself?
No, once upon a time I used to assist at my old place where I used to work, but now it doesn't. We don't do it at the pool, actually, where I work now.
I do like how you used once upon a time to tell your story about when you taught toddlers. that worked quite well.
Once upon a time. Yeah. Well, it's a good 10 years ago now. Yeah.
Okay, so after that sort of age, does it then become a bit more structured?
It does. So if you still want your child to be in the learning to swim sort of lesson type
with you yourself in the water.
Yes, yeah. At the stage of 3 to 5 year olds, the preschool age, this would be the first time where they're doing lessons without the adult.
Right, okay.
In the water. So like you say, it would be more structured. There'd be a lot more fun and games because you can interact when they're that age. They're learning the social skills, like I said.
Okay.
And it's more fun and games. They're learning through toys in the water, stuff like that, you know.
Still in shallow end.
They'd definitely be using flotation devices, whether it's armbands, woggles.
And
probably
then
both, actually.
You as a teacher, are you in the water with them as well?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, in most cases, you'd have an assistant as well.
Okay, so the more staff in the water, keeping them safe.
Yeah, because of course they're more high risk, if you like, because they don't know the ideas of what to do in the water if they were to go underwater. You know, they would just sort of
they've not developed those cognitive skills.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So having the assistant in the water mainly watches the health and safety, while the main teacher would then teach the floating or basic kicking. Or
see, I remember my first experience as I did a tiny bit of swim teaching, believe it or not.
Wow!
So I was a qualified lifeguard at the age of 16, as most swimmers tend to be.
Once upon a time, hey?
Yeah. And then I went to a swim school, and my dad had hooked me up with an opportunity to be a lifeguard for their sessions. I thought, this is easy money. Mm-hmm. I turned up, and the swim coordinator, the lady who was in charge of it, was just like, right, you're assisting in the water today. And I was just like, what? I'm doing what?
Throwing a deep
end. I was just like, I'm lifeguarding, aren't I? She was like, no, you're an assistant swim teacher. I was like, we've got our wires crossed here. Yeah. So I spent 2 hours in and out of the water helping this swimming lesson. I had no idea the kids' names. Mm. And I just did 1 week of that. And I was just like, well, this wasn't what I signed up for.
Well, no, not if you've been taught to lifeguard.
Yeah, I know. It's a very big surprise. But actually, it was really tiring work. So I respect anyone who does any sort of teaching with younger children, because the amount of concentration that you have to have.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's easier when they get older, because then you're just solely focusing on the stroke technique and their swimming, improving their swimming ability. But when they're that age,
you're focusing that they stay above the water.
Yeah, that's the main priority, yes. And then if you can teach a little bit of kicking and some paddling then and submerging, then always a bonus.
So that was a little bit of a shock to my system. That wasn't so fun. So the next stage of swimming is where you start to learn all the techniques and intricate details of swimming.
So this is where we've done a recent video, actually, haven't we, on Swim England's Learn to Swim program.
Yep, so we are going to do one video a month for the next, how many stages are there, seven?
Seven to begin with, yes.
For the next seven months, we are going to analyse each stage of the Learn to Swim program that is presented by Swim England.
Yes.
So this is the next stage of child swimming development, basically.
Yeah, so it's aged from 5 to 11, so the primary school ages, although you do have kids who are older, let's say 13, 14.
There's no cutoff. Still, really.
There's no real cutoff, no, you're right. Although if you get to 16, they probably won't want to go in that. They might then venture into other sites.
I think then that's more because you're having a 16-year-old in the water with 11-year-olds. It's very
different. It's a little bit, a bit iffy, that sort of side of it. But of course, when you get to that sort of age, more priorities take over, so like the exams, the school, and all that sort of stuff.
So if I am a parent and I want my kid to go to a stage one learn to swim lesson, is there a minimum age my child needs to be?
So for stage one, you have to be 5.
Right, okay.
So you have to be 5. Anyone under 5 would then class as a preschooler.
So what if they're really good at swimming, though? They're just not allowed in.
We've had this. So for example, let's say you've got a 3-year-old who's way too good for the preschools. They actually do then move into the Learn to Swim program if it's almost like a grey area, if they're allowed. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So it's like discretion of the centre. It's a one-off. It's not actively encouraged.
Well, I mean, there'd be communication with the centre, the teacher, the parent, as long as everyone's on the same hymn sheet and everyone agrees with how they want to progress their child and,
right, okay,
you know, et cetera, like that. As long as everyone's in a positive mindset, then by all means.
Okay. And how fast do swimmers progress through these learn to swim stages? Is it you have to spend 1 year on stage one, 1 year on stage two?
No. So it's all individual, basically.
Right.
So obviously you might be able to get one swimmer who might be the next Adam Peaty who just flies through it in like a year or two.
I want to put an asterisk next to that because Adam Peaty didn't get good at swimming until he was like 15.
That's very true, actually. Actually, yeah, you're right. Let's go with Phelps then. Let's go with
Yeah,
Phelps.
Let's go with that.
yeah, so you might get someone who flies through it, no
right,
problem.
Yep.
And then it might take someone 2-3 years just to get through the first couple of stages, you know?
Okay.
So it's all individual how the swimmer progresses, like in your academic side, you know?
How often would they get assessed per stage to move through?
So the thing nowadays is it's almost like a continual assessment.
Right, okay.
So you can move up, well, sorry, the child can move up whenever they're ready.
Okay.
Based on what the teacher sees.
When I used to swim, way back when, it used to be you do like an 8-week block of learning all these skills, and then week 9, everyone gets assessed and they get a badge.
Yes.
And then they move forward or they don't.
And some places still do that.
Right, okay.
Yes,
but
yes.
Your place is a little bit different.
So we've recently changed to this continual assessment, actually.
Oh, okay.
It was last year that we had the 12-week block. We had 12-week blocks. And then, what was it? Week 10 would be the assessment.
Okay, yeah.
And then week 11, you'd give them like slips to say you're moving up or you're staying, whatever. And then week 12 would be more of a fun sort of session, if that makes sense. So
Captured a flag in the water was a personal favourite of mine.
Something like that, or stuck in a mud in the water, yeah.
Yeah,
great
yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah, so these learn to swim and the nursery side as well, the preschoolers. It's the first chance to win or achieve some awards, basically. It's like a certificate and badge, which obviously is a huge motivation for someone that sort of age.
Yeah, I remember I used to swim in... I know the swimming pool's actually been knocked down now. It was Cascades at Tewkesbury.
Oh, yes.
And as part of the Learn to Swim, it was like stage one was a dolphin or something like that. And you'd get this little badge and my mum would sew it onto my blanket.
On the towels, like, yes. Classic.
Sew it all the way onto the blanket. That was a sight that everyone used to have who was swimming.
Yes, yeah. And it wasn't just like the stage one, stage two. It was all like the distance badges as well.
50 meter, 100 meter.
Yeah. I think my towel was like full, literally like a perimeter around the outside.
I was going to say, I still don't think I've earned the 800 meter badge. I don't think I can do that in a session. No,
not now, it's too far now.
Yeah, way too far. So at the end of these learn to swim stages, stage 7, what is a swimmer expected to have learnt?
They at the end of stage 7, they should be able to swim one length of the pool of each stroke to the Swim England standards, expected standards.
Which is
basically a full stroke.
Oh, right, okay.
Basically, yeah. As long as you can recognise a stroke and they're doing every sort of segment of it correctly, then yes, that's where it should be.
Is there any other skills?
So, of course, you know when you go into, I think it's year 6, which is key stage 1, they've got to be able to do 25 metres of a stroke.
Okay.
That's what the Learn Swim programmes are designed for.
Right.
So that when you go into secondary school, everyone should be able to do at least a length.
And this is for health and safety reasons, more than anything.
Life skills, I suppose so, and all that sort of stuff, yes.
Life-saving skills, basically.
I mean, I don't think one length is enough. I think you should be able to do at least 2 lengths. At least, that's our minimum, you know?
Yes and no.
Well, let's say you go to Cheltenham Lido, for example. That's a 50-metre pool.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
You've got to be able to do one length.
I get that, but asking an 11-year-old to do 2 lengths of butterfly? That's what you said. That is a little bit tough.
So if at the key stage, I think it's 1 or 2, I can't remember what it is now, they've got to do at least one length of any stroke.
Oh, it's not they cycle through every stroke and have to do one of each.
So to pass stage 7, they've got to do one length of each to get the badge, the certificate.
Right.
But before you get into secondary school, ideally, whether this is actually true or not, I mean, some kids don't actually start lessons until
I've
they get to secondary school, you see. But that's what the Learn to Swim program is aimed at. They've got to do at least a length of a stroke.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
this
I get
is where,
that now.
This is why I think they should do 50 metres.
By the end of it.
If they go to Bath, if they ever go to an Olympic pool.
Okay, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so something I didn't know that Dan has presented to me on our whiteboard of notes here is that after stage 7, you can actually branch out and do 8, 9, and 10?
Correct. Stages 8, 9, and 10, and then in different disciplines.
Yeah,
yes.
So I didn't know about these.
Mm.
So why don't you explain what these entail?
Okay, so there's different aquatic sports, isn't there? So you've got the swimming, competitive swimming side, then you've got the water polo side, the artistic swimming, which is also synchro, water, well, I think I said water polo, and all that sort of stuff. And then there's also lifeguard, rookie lifeguard.
Oh,
so
okay.
Not actually the lifeguard course, because you have to be 16, but you can do a rookie lifeguard, which learns, it teaches you the basics of being a lifeguard, basically. So it doesn't go as far as learning the spine or stuff, but you do the CPR and first aid and all that, and the towing. Yeah.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to be a lifeguard, then it's almost like a good stepping stone to doing that.
You'd certainly be ahead of the game when it comes to the actual assessment.
Oh, yeah. You'd know half the stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that course is all about health and safety in the end, isn't it? So that's the stuff you've got to learn. But then when you get to the actual course, you'll be a step ahead on first aid stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So I do have one question when it comes to learn to swim, whether it's 1 to 10.
Mm.
Do you have to start from 1? So if I'm a 7-8-year-old who has been taught by my dad, so say me or you, who are very good swimmers, we go to public lessons and that's how we've taught our child to swim, but we then want them to do these organised sessions, do they have to jump in at 1? Can they go all the way or can they start at 6?
No, so what they would do would be having assessments. So they would speak to the swim coordinator, organize an assessment, then the coordinator or a teacher would quickly assess the child
in a session,
and then they would say you're in stage 3, stage 5, wherever they would go. Okay.
Because I've looked at these learn to swim stages when I was doing these videos for us, and I can outright say I didn't do 1 or 2. So after the learn to swim stages is when people will start joining a swimming club. And from experience, you don't have to finish the learn to swim stages to actually join a swimming club.
No, again, this is where, so I said with the assessments in the learn to swim lessons, you would also have an assessment for the swimming club.
Okay.
And if the coach thinks you're good
enough to go in,
then by all means, you're in, yeah.
So people will join swimming clubs at a very different age. So Dan, when did you join a swimming club?
So I was 7 when I joined my first club.
And I was 12 when I joined my swimming club. And I, between the time of, what was it, swim skills and stuff like that, and a club swimming, I did this little grey area, which was swim academy.
Yes.
Which is something that, I don't know, it's almost like a taster of club swimming. And mine was definitely put on by the head coach of Gloucester City Swimming Club. He ran it at GL1, but it wasn't the full training program.
No,
of club swimming.
If we can compare it to like the rookie lifeguard, it's kind of like that. So it's like a stepping stone before the actual thing. And that's what academy was. So we still do academy at Brockworth as well. And a lot of the time, they don't want to go to the club area, but they still want to carry on swimming. So it's almost like a fitness sort of session, really, but for kids. And of course, if you do get to the older age of the adults, then there are swim fit sessions available, which essentially is the same thing to keep you fit, but for older
who don't want the association of training to race, basically.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So I got picked up by the Gloucester City Swimming Club head coach from there. He said, come try out. We didn't know whether it was right for me with school, year seven. It was a lot of work to suddenly start training 3 or 4 times a week when I wasn't used to it. But eventually that was the decision that my parents made for me.
Well, exactly. That's where the communication comes in between the coach. Like the triangle I said before with the swimmer, the parent and head coach.
Yeah.
And if you're all on the same page, then
Yeah, so you joined at 7 because you were obviously a much more competent swimmer. Or the club picked you up early.
Yes, well, actually, my first swimming teacher taught me to swim. And then actually, I stayed with him all the way through until 11. So he was not only the swimming teacher, but he was also the swimming coach at the club.
Oh, okay.
So I suppose he built me. In effect, he built me as a swimmer.
What, you terminated? So this is Lee, isn't it?
Lee, yes.
So hopefully in the near future, we're actually going to get Lee on and I can interrogate him about you as a kid.
Yeah, well, I have no idea. I can't even remember now. 20 years later.
To be fair, he set the foundations of you to become a national swimmer because that is where you learnt your stroke.
Yeah, well, we said about it in the briefly in the Masters episode, didn't we? Where the age group section, which is it was the swim skill section.
Yep.
So ages, let's say 7 to 11 or 8 to 11, whatever, is just technique based.
Yeah,
that's what he did.
Yeah,
yeah.
He that built is my where technique you, from you there. Learnt your stroke, and when you go to some swimming clubs, you can see those who have been to swim schools, which are not quite up to the same standards as others,
yeah,
because they'll come to club swimming and you'll think, oh dear,
yeah,
that stroke is not perfect. So for the first few years in club swimming, the coaches at the swimming club will focus on technique still.
At that age, yes, skills, definitely. Yeah. Yes, yeah. It's only when you get older then it starts to be actual working the energy systems, like the aerobic side, the anaerobic side.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't start racing until I was 14, 15.
Yeah, so you were basically a late starter, really.
Yeah.
Because my first race was 9 or 10, something like that.
Well, that seems crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you're obviously winning everything because you were the only one.
I can't remember now, but I might have done all right. I can't remember.
Just check all the medals in your bedroom.
Just, yeah, I think I've got a tin somewhere or like a massive Tupperware.
Okay, so then most swimmers will progress through club swimming. They'll have different groups, which are slowly increase in ability and pool time and
yep,
training until you get to the elite side of swimming, which we aren't going to dive into too much because, was it a few weeks ago, two or three, we did a podcast with Dan where I interviewed yeah, him. And he talked through all of his experience as an elite swimmer in the elite training squad at Cardiff.
Yes, exactly.
So if you want to know more about what happens when you're 18 and you are training for the Olympics, that's the podcast that you really need to check out.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So after club swimming, for most, not everyone, but for most, swimming kind of stops.
Yeah, I mean, throughout all the stages that we've said, you always get swimmers who peter out.
Yeah.
But when it gets to... what's the biggest dropout area? So I think it's when exams start to happen. The
GCSEs at 16.
Yeah. So of course, swimmers might be in a swimming club. That's when they start to drop out. And then, funnily enough, that sort of age is when people start to take a little bit of interest, but not in a swimming club arena. More public swimming sort of
okay,
side of it, you know?
Yep, I've got you.
So as many people going out, you do get people coming in.
But for public swimming,
yes, exactly.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
But there is also a big return to swimmers.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is in master swimming, which is the club environment again.
But yeah,
it's very different from club swimming because it is...
Well, the age ranges are huge.
Yeah, it's from 18 till...
18 all the way up to...
Let's say 90.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, exactly,
there are 90-year-old swimmers going.
Yeah.
And again, we've done a podcast on master swimming, so we aren't going to dive too much into detail, but it is... It's almost trying to bring the fun back to swimming because club swimming, when you're 16, it can feel like it's dragged out of you slightly.
It gets a bit repetitive. Swimming is repetition all the time, isn't it? So if you can bring back that little bit of enjoyment
social side.
Again, yes, yeah. Then swimming is the way to go, definitely.
Okay, so if I am an adult swimmer and I haven't been through all of these learn to swim stages, and I haven't done club swimming, and I'm not actually very confident in the water, is there an option for me?
Absolutely. Every swimming pool will be offering private lessons, for example. So there'd be a one-to-one with you and another teacher, and you can be an adult of any age, and you could be of any ability. There's no shame in you having your first lesson and having a woggle around you, as long as you learn to swim, because it's a great life skill.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't be embarrassed about it at all.
No.
If anyone knows... We have a YouTube channel. I follow YouTube a hell of a lot. Mm. One of my favorite YouTubers in the world is from Australia, a very swim central place.
Yes, yeah.
And he's got almost 1 million subscribers on YouTube, and he actively tells everyone, I can't swim.
Yeah.
I don't know how to. I panic in the water. And it's not something he's embarrassed about. And on his YouTube channel, he's actually going to learn how to swim eventually when he gets over the first fear of getting in the water.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know this guy who you're talking about, but maybe...
Kane Vato.
Okay, so maybe he's never had the opportunity to do those sort of stuff because his parents maybe couldn't afford lessons or, you know, whatever. There were just no local pools around where he was living, for example, which is, I don't know what sort
of... He was brought up in London, so...
Oh, there's loads of pools. Okay, but yeah, so maybe he just didn't have the opportunity, but there's always opportunity as an adult through private lessons, or there's also adult group lessons as well.
Okay.
So you'd normally have a beginner group and then an intermediate and then an advanced group.
Okay.
And then usually the advanced ones are like the swim fitters and stuff.
When you say a private lesson, do you have the whole pool to yourself? Do you have a lane? Just because some people might feel a bit self-conscious about being taught to swim at the age of 40. Do they get the whole pool to themselves, or is there a way you go about it?
It depends on each pool, I suppose.
Okay.
Like, for example, like at GL1, you know, there's, how many pools are there? 4 different pools?
Yeah.
Something like that. But, of course, there's 2 of them are sort of baby-ish.
They're kind of hidden away.
Yeah. and then the other two are normal size 25 meter pools, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's very dependent on the facilities that pool can offer you, whether you can get a private lesson with no one watching.
Yes, yeah, so if you've got more pools available, then there should be more pool space, essentially. So the one at Brockworth, we've only got the one pool, so the pool space might not be available to have the whole pool for yourself, but you might be able to hire out a section, like a lane or something.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to, if you're really that embarrassed, then it might be quite difficult. You might have to go to a bigger complex leisure centre.
Okay, yeah. That would be the best piece of advice that we can give someone who is really not feeling overly...
like self-conscious.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. Not that they should be. I mean, there's many people who are in the same boat.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So after adults have built up this confidence and learned to swim, not all of them are going to go into master swimming.
No.
Is there something different? Because you mentioned it before in this podcast about swim fit.
Swim fit, yeah. So it's almost like an organised... coach session, sorry.
Okay.
So you have a teacher or coach on the side telling you what to do. And if you're not interested in that, then you could do just normal public swimming, which many people do, obviously. And of course, the main reason why people swim is just to relieve stress, get the endorphins, the feel goods.
Mm.
And of course, you can do that whenever you want, as long as
the pool's
there.
I can certainly testify to that because I'm personally not actually interested in doing master swimming just at this moment in time because... to put it bluntly, I'm very embarrassed about how slow I am these days compared to what I used to be. So what I'm trying to do right now is to go to public swimming sessions as much as I can, build up a bit more of an aerobic base so that when I go to a master's, if I go to a master's swimming club,
yeah,
I don't feel out of my depth. Because right now I'd feel ashamed for myself going there. I know that everyone will tell me it's fine, it's not a problem, but it's just my own personal preference.
But it's difficult for you because you've always been coached, you see. Yes. So that's the only downside of doing public swimming. But at the same time, do people want to be coached and improve their technique, or do they just want to keep themselves healthy, keep the weight off, etc.?
Yeah, but I can go to a public session because I have that background knowledge.
I was in
swimming for so many years that I can write a session for myself. And if in doubt, I can throw one at you and be like, is that all right? Is that going to be okay? Like, no, not off that time. Go faster. So I do have that benefit. But again, it shows that, I mean, everyone, even someone who runs a swimming YouTube channel, is not confident in his own swimming ability right now.
Yeah, so I can completely understand if someone is self-conscious, a little bit embarrassed if they can't swim. It's a bit like if you are new to the gym, you do feel completely out of place and you wonder if you're doing the exercise right on the machine.
And you do feel like everyone's eyes are on you.
And it feels like everyone's watching you. So we can completely understand that. Not that it's true. No one's really watching you. They're not staring at you and judging you, your stroke, and, oh, God, why can't that person
when
swim? It's not
I,
like that.
When I'm at a swimming pool and I see someone who's trying really hard, no matter, same in the gym.
Yes.
If someone's trying really hard, it doesn't matter if they're good, they're fast, they're slow, as long as they're putting the effort in, I really respect them.
You should praise them. Yes, absolutely.
Especially
in
the gym, actually. It's something I did more because it's easier to talk to someone in the gym.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I would always go over to them and be like, do you need a hand? Do you want me to lend you any advice? Because what you're doing is really good.
Yeah. And like I said, they should be praised that they're doing what they should be doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And of course, they must have some goals for them to be there, whether it's a weight target or they're training for something, you know, maybe it's a triathlon because that's also linked to swimming somewhat.
So the moral of this podcast, if you want to take anything away from it, is that you can start swimming whenever.
It's never too late to learn swimming.
Yeah, exactly. Never. It's never too early.
Nope.
Before 3 months is too early. But until then, basically, if you feel like you want to get in the water, just go for it. If you want your child to start learning, you haven't missed a beat, they can join whenever.
At any stage, as long as they get assessed, they can go in any stage.
Yeah, it's not just something to be good at and to be competitive with. Mm. It is a life-saving skill.
Well, it could potentially save your life at some stage. Mm. Accidents happen all the time. Someone could fall in
the sea,
or whatever.
Yep,
exactly. So that could save your life.
Or save
someone else's.
Exactly.
Life.
Just being able to learn how to tread water is extremely important.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I can't recommend it enough.
Yep. Well, that's the whole reason for this podcast, to gain awareness that it's never too late to learn.
So I hope everyone has enjoyed us natter on a little bit about every stage that you can learn to swim, how you can get involved in the sport that both me and Dan really, really love. We will be back next week on the Propulsion Swimming podcast reviewing the European Championships that are currently going on in Budapest, and we will have a special guest with us to do that as well. So if you haven't hit that subscribe button already, please do so on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you get your podcasts from. From myself, Scott, and from Dan, we will see you in 7 days.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.